All right, hope you're in Romans 14. We're going to read verses 1 to 12. I'm going to kind of talk about most of the chapter, but we're just going to read these together, these verses together. And also today, if you we have a Salvation Army team that serves meals, and so we have a big serving day today, so to speak. If you didn't want to help with the shoeboxes, you can also help serve a meal. I think they're doing that now, so you can't really do that one quite yet. So you're stuck with the shoeboxes, doggone it. And so, but this Saturday they're going to be serving, this Saturday as well, and then also this Tuesday there's some giving opportunities for Clarity and other ministries that are matching funds. So just think about generosity at this time of year and being a blessing. And so again, just thank you for your shoeboxes ahead of time. So Paul in chapter 14 is dealing with disputable matters or things that people were disagreeing on. And so let's just read verses 1 to 12. Paul says, "Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. He's a vegetarian. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him." Underline that. Verse 4, "Who are you to judge another person's servant or someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should fully be convinced in his own mind." It's another important statement. "He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone." It's an amazing statement. We may feel alone, but we're never alone in life or even in death. The Lord is with us. Amen? If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That's the key question. Do you belong to the Lord? Have you by faith accepted him and put your trust in him? That's chapters 1 to 8. Verse 9, "For this very reason Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. So then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we shall all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God.' So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." Father, we thank you for your word. Help us apply it, understand it, and help us live it more importantly. We just trust you for what you're going to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul is dealing with some issues at the church, and much of it was just some minor things, right? So he's majored on the majors, that's chapters 1 to 12. Now he's minoring on the minors, but he still has to address these issues, because here's an important truth that you need to understand. Not everybody is going to agree with you. You understand that? Say that to yourself out loud. Not everybody is going to agree with me, right? And so how do I handle people who disagree with my personal convictions or my personal view or things that I allow myself or so on and so forth? And so Paul gives us 5 tips to handle those moments, and they're really growing moments, right? When we disagree on things, especially when it comes to food, and you're like, "Andy, you're talking about food during Thanksgiving? That's not right." It's like, well, it's going to help us in just a minute. Just hang on, all right? And so we're dealing with disagreeing things that are not doctrinal truth, right? So chapters 1 to 8 are clear truth, right? So now he's talking about, well, what about areas where there's no black and white in life? What am I supposed to do and handle those moments? And how do I convince myself of what I'm going to allow or not allow, right? And so, like, what areas are you really talking about? And he's like, well, tattoos, You know, Paul talks about wine, alcohol, or food. If you're a vegetarian, it's like there's certain meat you're not going to eat. Are you kosher? Everybody's a little different, right? No matter where your background is from, right? So how are we to get along and love and show love? And what are some things we shouldn't do to one another? And so he talks about all those things. So number one, accept and love those who disagree with you. You're like, well, Andy, that's hard to do. It's like, well, yeah. Love is sometimes hard to do, right? And so showing love is hard to do. So, but I'm commanded to love and not pass judgment, right, on someone else that who disagrees. And so accept means to receive or welcome without judging or condemning others due to their nationality or even social status or even what they allow themselves. We're to accept all people, right? Because God has created all people, right? We're to love our neighbor. Well, who's our neighbor? That's everybody, right? And so even those who disagree with us, it could be even political matters. You're like, Andy, you're going too far. It's like, well, we're going there, right? We're going there. And so here's the question. Could you have someone over to your house, show hospitality, who's of a different nationality? Could you, and would you be open to that? If not, well, that's your problem. All right. You need to do that. It's very culturally enhancing, right? And so it's a very neat thing to do, all right? But here's the thing. Rejection, if we reject one another, then that just causes hurt and harm, right? And so church ought to be a place where we're accepting and loving one another, even though we may disagree on certain things. Some people are like, well, why are you serving coffee? Why don't you have tea? Well, we have tea. Why don't we have hot chocolate? We have hot chocolate. We have everything for everybody back there, right? Because we don't want anybody to miss out, right? And so we take what you like and say, hey, we'll provide it back there for you, right? But here's the thing. It's up to you and what your preference is to enjoy, right? So if somebody has a cup of coffee and you don't like coffee, it's like, what are you drinking that cup of coffee for? You shouldn't be having that coffee, don't you? And you have 100 reasons why you shouldn't have coffee. And they're like, I'm going to drink it anyway because I like it. You know what I mean? It's not for me to pass judgment on what they like or dislike when it comes to these minor things. And so I'm just to get along and love them. Yes, that's exactly what we're called to do. I can't control what they allow themselves, right? But the atmosphere, Paul is saying there ought to be mutual edification. He talks about there should be joy and love and happiness in the Holy Spirit, and that's the major thing, right? These are all minor things that we're going to be discussing. So we shouldn't make each other feel inferior either or unwanted because of what we allow or don't allow ourselves. Right? Just because the person who is strong, who allows everything, shouldn't feel or make the person who is weak in his faith or in their conscience feel unwanted or inferior, and vice versa. I can't control someone else's conscience. That's between them and who? That's between them and God, right? So he even says that in verse 22. Whatever you believe about these disputable things, keep between yourself and God. That's right there in the Bible, right? Verse 22. So accept and love those who disagree with you. Secondly, make up your own mind on personal convictions. You got to think about things, right? Don't check out. No, think about these things because it's a very important thing, right? So you got to keep it between yourself and the Lord. Don't check out on this. Have your own personal things. And here's the thing. You can change them over time even. Because of your growth in the Lord, you're like, oh, you know, I used to be a little more strict in my life. Now I've changed some things because of my view and understanding of and hanging out with some other people. I was like, things can change over time, right? That's how I was. I grew up in a very fundamental family. And it's like there were certain things we just didn't do, right? And so I got to move out and experience life and all those kinds of things. And I still had to grow through different points in my life to where I'm not judgmental because that was me. And I was just like, I can't do that based on what Scripture is teaching me here, right? And so it's like I have to have my personal thing. So what am I going to allow myself? So I had to think through that whole process. Right? And so Paul, again, gives us some pointers here on what to think about and what to do, and we're going to talk about those in just a second. But he's encouraging the strong here. He goes, don't put a stumbling block to those who are weak that would cause them to stumble. And in essence, the emphasis here is on strong folks who, not necessarily the stronger in faith, or I'm weaker in faith. No, it's a matter of conscience. It's a broader spectrum. Those who are strong have a broad, they have like no restrictions on gray matters. And those who are weaker or smaller, so not smaller, but just he says that word, but it's not a weaker faith. It just seems a more stricter conscience. They just like, oh, I'm a little more tight on things, okay? And so he says, make up your own mind, right? So here's the other thing. Sometimes we, if you're weak in your faith and you're more restricted on things, we can't pass judgment on those who are a little broader than us. Follow me? And so vice versa. And so, but the emphasis here is on the strong. You who are strong, you need to be conscious of those who are of weaker or restricted faith than you. And so he talks about why, because that's what love would do. And Paul was even in the mind that he goes, I have a broad perspective, but in love for my brother, I wouldn't do anything that would cause him to harm or hurt his faith, because I love him. And so my personal preferences are below my love for my brother. You follow me? He comes first, or they come first, I come second in these matters of personal preference. Now, sometimes we have to grow in those moments as well. And sometimes it just takes some chewing or talking things out with other people. It's like, why did you allow that part of your life to be this? And you hear their story. It's like, oh, I get you now. Why you did what you did, right? And so, for instance, let's just say Sabbath, because the Romans here, Gentiles, and you also have a Jewish mix in there. So Jews are like, well, I don't work on Saturday. Even though my boss is telling me I got to work, I ain't working on Saturday because I'm going to honor God, and that's between them and God, right? And so Gentiles like, hey, overtime Saturday? Yeah! Bring it on! And the Jewish guy's like, are you a follower of Christ? I've seen you at church, yeah? Well, why don't you honor this day like I do? It's in the Bible. Well, Jesus is my Sabbath. He's my spiritual rest. And Jesus is greater than a particular day, and that's what Jesus talked about. I can help out my brothers who's in need. My boss is in need, and they get some extra work done. It's like, I feel okay to do that. The guy's like, well, okay. That's not a bad reason for doing what you're doing. Now, again, the principle of Sabbath is to rest, right? You cannot work 7 days a week your whole entire life. You will be sick. Why? Because you can't physically do it, right? Even doctors would tell you that. You need a day off. You need a day to rest, right? But Jesus is like, hey, you can still help those in need on your Sabbath day, on your personal rest. So it's not always about you on Sabbath. that makes sense? It's like, man, I plan to sleep in till 10 on Saturday. My buddy calls me at 8. Hey, man, I got a tree down. Can you help me out? It's like, man, it's Saturday. It's 8 o'clock. We go through this whole reasoning in our head, right? It's like, man, it's like, come on. And God's like, it's a growing point. You going to help your brother or not? Right? Do you love him? Get your butt up and help him, right? So go help him, right? So even though it's your Saturday, even though it's your day, so to speak, right? God sends interruptions to teach you stuff. He does me that all the time. But here's the thing. Some people are like, well, you having Thanksgiving on Saturday, your family? Isn't it supposed to be on Thursday? That's when the pilgrims did it. You cook on Saturday? That's the Sabbath, right? And so people are like, and this is what was going on. It's like, you allow this? You certain days? And it's like this whole tension was in the church. It's like, Paul's like, there's bigger things to talk about than cooking on Saturday. That makes sense? I'm having my family over. This is the only time we could get together because of the holidays and everything else. And so Saturday's the only day. Am I going to make God unhappy by doing that? No! You will not. You may make your wife unhappy. That's only... Can't we do it any other day but Saturday? Anyway. You have to have your own personal conscience moments, your own personal decisions, okay? what you allow and don't allow yourself. And I can't enforce that on other people. What I believe, I can't enforce that on other people. Thirdly here, make sure you don't cause others to stumble. That's Paul's big point here. Christ died for this person, he says, your brother. Why would you offend your brother? And the whole point is, and it's the purposeful trip. It's a meaningful, I'm going to get you back kind of thing. I'm going to show you my freedom and I'm going to cause you to stumble kind of thing. And Paul's like, that's not a demonstration of love. That doesn't build anybody up. That tears people down if I do it purposefully, right? And so sometimes we just have to ask people their permission. Hey, is it okay if, will this offend you if I do something or partake of something? And they say yes. I was like, hey, I won't do it. Because I don't want to offend my brother in Christ over something that's small. Okay? I don't want to do that. And that's Paul's point. Even though he allowed himself everything, he goes, but there's, I hang around certain people that have restrictions, so I'm going to follow that just to honor and show love to them. C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, used to enjoy smoking a pipe. How many of you guys knew that? You guys don't know church history? All right. I gotta fill you in the gap. So this was something that he would personally enjoy himself on a Saturday if he studied, you know, preaching and all those kinds of like I do. He would enjoy a pipe, smoking a pipe on Saturdays after a hard week. He just enjoy sitting on the porch and just smoking a pipe. Well, people found out about this somehow, and a billboard in the company that he bought his tobacco from put his picture on the billboard. Without him knowing it, this is back before copyright laws and all of that, they said, the package that C.H. Spurgeon smokes. And he was like, oh, I got to explain this to the church. And so what had happened, it offended a lot of people, and that was the example he was setting. So he had to go back and correct all of that. And so but that's the thing. What you enjoy is may come out. Does that make sense? You have to be ready to answer for that. So number four, make sure you aren't judgmental on others. So Paul repeats this question. Who are you to judge? Why do you judge? Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind that you won't put a stumbling block in your brother's way. That's what you need to be fully convinced of. So that's in verses 15 to 22. Don't pass judgment. Don't destroy the work of God, he says, over minor things. Make sense? We don't have the right to judge another person's conscience. That's God's role. Amen. And here's the thing. Don't be a person who's easily offended. We live in a very easily offended culture. Everybody's offended by every little thing. Sometimes you just have to grow and be okay and let the small things go. That makes sense? Don't sweat the small stuff. All right. Be accepting, be learning and growing, be willing to change yourself. Lastly, God's kingdom is bigger than minor matters. That's kind of the key thing that Paul is talking about here. Notice verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. He goes, you make sure first and foremost your heart's in the right spot with the Holy Spirit in your conscience. Amen. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, what you allow yourself, you make sure your heart's in tune with His. And when we come to worship, it's like, man, we are here to worship. And so everybody worships a little differently. Some people will clap. Some people will get a little going on. And here's the thing. I can't judge the person who's over going, If that's their expression to show love to God, I can't judge their heart. right? I can say, hey, you need to calm it down a little. It may be a little distracting, but you know. But if they're meaningful worshiping the Lord, that's where it's at, right? So we have different preferences. People have come in with different songs. Well, I want to hear this kind of song, I hear that kind of song. It's like, well, Paul says, just sing with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. Amen. No matter what song you sing, right? We sing a lot of different songs. There's so many songs out there, we can't sing them all, right? We got to narrow them down. So anyway, God's kingdom is bigger. Don't destroy the work of God, he says in verse 20, for the sake of food. It's just food. There's bigger things at stake than food and whatnot. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with people, our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we're dealing with. That's bigger than just food. Don't get all worked up if someone cooks on a Saturday to have their family over, if they eat a turkey or a tofu turkey, or if they have no turkey, or if they have a glass of wild turkey. Oh, you see, y'all know what I'm talking about. Who said my name over here? Is that George? Oh, George, it's good to have you up from Kentucky, buddy. If you would, just raise your hand. Yes. This is the guy that gets me in trouble and gets me go down to Kentucky to help people out. You know, that's... See all these boxes? Guess what? They're not going to Kentucky. So, we're not making another trip. No, and unless they need it, absolutely need it, then we'll take some more down there. We've handled a lot of boxes going down there. But don't destroy each other. So if you have family over, and this is what normally happens, right? There's Uncle Bill, I'm just using analogies. Uncle Bill brings such and such, and you're like, oh, Uncle Bill. You always bring that, or, you know, Aunt Joan over here, she just brings this over here, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to eat that. Or someone breaks out something, and then they're drinking something, and you're like, well, I'm not going to allow myself to do that. And it's like, well, what should I do? Should I leave? And here's the thing, no. They're your family. What we're called to do is what? Love them where they're at.
That's right.
Enjoy time together. Because guess what? We're not going to have... Our life is short.
Amen.
And we're called to enjoy what God has us. And you know, if you don't like certain things, you don't have to eat it. You know what I mean? You don't have to talk about it. Just enjoy what you like. Amen? Enjoy what you like. Love is more important than your personal preference. Be fully convinced in your own mind what you're going to enjoy. All right? Side note on God's judgment here. Paul talks about the judgment seat of Christ. All of us will have this moment with Jesus. I love this picture here. All of us will have this moment as a Christian. And here's the thing. If you're not a Christian, you need to read Revelation 21, where it says there is no place for you at the table. Your name is not written in his book. There's no place for you. It's a hard judgment because you didn't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior in this life. But all of us who have accepted Christ will have this moment with Jesus. It's a rewarding aspect. So these are the five things. Number one, we won't be judged according to our past, present, and future sins. It's a good spot for an amen. You missed it. Eh? Secondly, we will be judged for every idle word we speak, Jesus says in Matthew 12. You're like, man, I better watch what I say. Absolutely. Thirdly, we will be judged for how we have loved one another and our motives for serving the Lord. It's an atmosphere of love. God is love, and he will judge us according to how we love one another. Fourthly, we will be judged according to our faithfulness to what he's given to us. Not what he's not given to us, only what he's given to us, and we'll be rewarded accordingly. Jesus says, for those who are persecuted in my name, great is their reward. Right? And so there's a reward at the end of the day. Blessed are those who go through trials, for they will receive the crown of life, James 1:12, because they've persevered and love Christ still through the trial. Doug is that personal example of that. Fifthly, we will be rewarded according to our obedience and willingness to overcome areas in our lives for His name's sake. Jesus went through all different kinds of trials, did He not? Persecution, insults, physical persecution, name calling, you name it. And guess what? The Father exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that's above every name. Every person, every animal on the planet, every angel, every demon, even the devil himself will declare Jesus is Lord because of who He was and what He endured. The Father rewarded His faithfulness and obedience through the hardest times of His life. And so whenever times get hard, you just focus and remember what Christ went through. And that helps us get through what we got to go through. He understands. He can sympathize. Amen? And He helps us, and He's going to reward us accordingly. It's like, well, what are you going to do with all those rewards? Well, probably we're just going to lay them back at Jesus' feet anyway. Say, Lord, You help me win these. I'm going to give them back to You. They're not mine to keep. I did them for You. It's going to be a great moment, just you and Jesus right there, amen? And you need to think and plan for that day. And you need to live like Romans 14 says, because we're going to give an account of what we allowed ourselves. If we cause others to stumble, then He's going to hold us accountable for that. And if we've done that, we need to apologize for that. It's like, man, I did not mean to offend or hurt you. Amen? That's what love does. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for just the simplicity of these growing moments that You've put before us. And Lord, our focus is always going to be on loving You and loving others. Lord, that's what the whole Bible hangs on, You said. And Lord, help us to be that example around not just our physical families, but our spiritual family as well. And Lord, I pray that if anyone in this room does not know You yet, Lord, that they would simply call upon Your name and declare with their heart and believe from their heart that You were raised from the dead, and they declare today that Jesus is Lord and confess that and agree with You on that and give You their life by faith. Lord, Your word says they will be saved. Lord, I pray they would do that today, even right now. Just have that Jesus moment with You. Lord, I remember mine. And I'll never forget it. It was like that young man in the video. His heart just exploded. That God loves him. God came and sent His Son to save us. And Lord, that's the greatest gift that we could ever open. And Lord, our goal is to tell other people about Jesus. So Lord, we pray over these boxes. Lord, that every box would go just to the right person at the right time. Prepare their hearts, these children's heart, to receive and hear about Jesus. And the gift He came to give, that gift of eternal life with Him. So Lord, we love You. We thank You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.